It's a good show.
Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they couldn't make this up. So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down.
Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town.
Population you.
Population Richter.
Oh, my God. We're on the Richter scale right now.
We are. Yeah, yeah.
Our good friend Andy Richter has joined us, and we are so happy to have you in Dumb People Town.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is, as we were describing it.
I've been an honorary citizen for years.
Unknowingly. Yes. Unwittingly. We all do dumb things. I mean, but I believe, and I don't know if you believe this, but subscribe to the idea, and Jason and Dan and I, we've talked about this at length, that the world is getting dumber.
Yes.
Either the world's getting dumber or dumber's getting louder.
Or yeah. Dumb and smarter fighting, and dumb just has, like, dumb strength and is, like, pushing it down. I think, well, definitely dumb is on the uptick. Dumb had its revenge, you know.
This is like
it's also, the current brand of dumb is very white. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know people don't like to hear that, but it's a very white brand of dumb.
It's like a white hot dumb.
And I think the whiteness precedes the dumbness.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. It's a white hot dumb. Yeah. And it's coming in your face. Is that
what?
No, why would I say that? That's I don't know.
Weird.
All right. Well, Daniel Van Kirk is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hey, friend.
Nice to see you.
It's good to see you.
I'm always like surprised that Dan's here.
It's recognizable.
He only drives this ship. The dumb ship that's coming. We have great stories, and let's just jump into one right now because we have Andy Richter here.
I'm gonna read you the headline. First of all, let me say who sent it in. Because so many townies, hashtag Dumb People Town,
This is one a lot of people sent to you.
Yes. Tony. He just has two heart emoticons on either side of his name.
Oh.
Tony. I know. At
Tone
Dog.
Tone Dog.
T-O-N-D-O-G. At Tone Dog.
Two hearts, tone deaf?
Sounds like Tone Dog.
It actually does read that way as well. It also reads Tund Og.
Yes, it does.
Tund Og.
Tund O-G.
Okay. Tund O-G.
I'm going to read you the headline. Fight over cheesecake portion leads to arrest.
Okay. Mm.
That's Dumb People Town at its finest.
If you can't control your cheesecake fight. Now, I'm saying there will be a cheesecake fight.
So you understand that on a base
I'm
level.
I'm giving
that
there
fight
will
over
be.
Cheesecake.
I've seen my kids fight over the last little bit of ice cream. I've seen it happen. There will be a cheesecake fight, but if you can't contain it
within the family,
you got to go out.
But I'm assuming these are adults. Are we going to get more details?
We'll get more details.
All right.
A Moundville man is facing
Moundville. Come on.
What should we call it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, we got the mound.
So.
Yeah,
no. He's right. Ray's right.
We have the mound.
Should we call it Mound Town?
No.
Mound Town. I don't like things that rhyme.
We'll call the arcade Mound Town, but we got to call the place
Mound what?
Moundinson.
Moundville sounds classier.
It does.
Moundville is classier.
Like Moundville.
Because we are a ville.
When you look at what we've created, it's a ville. It takes a ville.
So the reason I slipped into Sam Elliott. Moundinson. A Moundville man is facing a domestic violence charge after a disagreement with his brother over a piece of cheesecake.
Yeah.
The Moundville Times reported that Moundville Police Chief Toby Banks. Toby Banks is the chief of police.
Sure.
And he's now in this fight?
He was called to a...
Honestly, he sounds sexy, though.
Toby Banks?
Yeah.
Toby Banks sounds like somebody who keeps telling you his opinion, then says to you,
right.
That's just Toby Banks' opinion.
Toby Banks covers the mound.
But the thing about Toby Banks, he sounds like a male model who married Tyra Banks but took her last name.
Why wouldn't you?
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. When he runs for public office later in life, it will be Toby Banks ain't shooting blanks.
Toby Banks was called to a disturbance at a residence where half-brothers lived together.
Half-brothers.
There it is. There's the beginning of the movie. Who's the more legit brother?
Wow.
Who has more love of their father?
Or like, one of them told the police and or this reporter, you put half-brother in there.
Yeah.
Like, kept saying it.
So you guys are brothers?
You guys are brothers? Half.
Yeah.
You're just like a guy.
That bitch ain't my mama.
You son of a...
Half cheesecake.
They were called to the residence where the half-brothers lived together. This is a very specific, at noon on December 26th, which means, in my opinion, a fight started on Christmas that people tried to push down. Bubbled over into Boxing Day. Yes,
yeah.
Bubbled over, and literally
Boxing Day. I mean, they're not boxing the gifts
up. I can't stop thinking of, whenever I hear cheesecake, Kevin Meaney, may he rest in peace, his old bit about the cheesecake, fresh, like
on the menus in New York, it says
imported.
No, not in New York. Imported New York cheesecake.
Like the cheesecake, he said the cheesecake boats are coming into the
dock. So we'd all come down to the dice and cheesecake boats come in, we'll party tonight.
That's what I think of Meaney. I miss you, my friend.
Toby Banks said he was asked for his opinion on whether the piece of cake was big enough for a grown fucking man. Which means the cop shows up, these two half-brothers are going at it, and now they decide, let's ask him.
We'll bring him into it.
Oh, it's so great, too, that it's still, the cheesecake has not been eaten yet.
It's still out.
This is not an after-the-fact thing.
It's evidence,
it's like,
Andy.
It's like this is a title bout.
Right.
And the cheesecake is the belt.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, like a hockey replay,
they've gone
to the cops to bring in what they think. Let's call Toronto, see if they know whether or not this tastes better
than cheesecake that's been left out for a long time.
I'm going to show you guys the picture.
Of the cheesecake?
Yes.
Oh,
you tell me. We get to decide.
You tell me if it's big enough for a fucking grown man.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Is that enough cheesecake?
Yes. For those at home, it's a very
generous
piece serving of cheesecake.
With like amazing
with caramel sauce
all over the top of it. And it's making me hungry how much is there right now.
Okay. I don't want cheesecake.
By the way, and I don't want to spin this terrible domestic dispute into a positive, but if I am from the Cheesecake Council.
Right.
It is so good, it's good enough for half brothers to fight over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could make a commercial out of this.
Right.
But I love that these two half brothers, it is the day after Christmas, which means this is probably leftover cheesecake.
Right.
Somebody said to the other brother, like Rick said to Steve, Will you grab me a piece of cheesecake? No problem, half brother.
Or I think it's probably like, I left you a slice. Don't worry, I left you some. You better left me a slice. I left you a slice.
Well,
a perfect grown man slice.
Because it looks like you have a lot right there. Yeah, so how much did you left me?
He's eating it as he says, I left you a slice. He's
fuck you, Earl. Go look. There's an adult portion right there.
Adult portion, man.
I don't know who you think is an adult. And he's eating. He's eating the whole
he's
time.
He's eating
like
the rest.
Way bigger piece.
I'm assuming, too, that these guys, like, they didn't damage each other enough that they weren't unable to call the police or unable to talk to the police.
Oh no!
Right. In some sort of like way where there was enough calm in the situation to ask Toby to adjudicate a slice of cheesecake, which makes me think that the actual blows that were exchanged were enough to really wind them.
Yeah.
They both became very easily winded.
Yeah, tired.
And then we're like, get Toby over here. Somebody's got to settle it.
We need to settle
it. One of those fights where like you've gotten some distance and you go, hold on. Hold on. Jesus.
Oh, boy.
Leave the cheesecake alone.
Yeah. Both of them are leaning over, grabbing their knees like NBA players who are tired.
Yeah.
According to court records, the older brother was still holding the butcher knife he used to cut the dessert when they began arguing about portion size.
So, wait, who's using a butcher knife to cut cheesecake?
That's me? Me? Maybe were you going to use a table? No.
I don't know. You use a regular.
No, you're already too angry.
Yeah.
So one brother is standing, the older brother is standing there with the butcher knife cutting the cheesecake.
Where raised? Raised? Arguing. Is it raised?
The victim told police his brother punched him in the face and busted his lip.
Wow.
The victim told police chief he felt threatened by the knife. The older brother said he was just holding it and never intended to use it.
Yeah, what? I'm just holding it. Put it down, sir.
I'm just holding it. I'm That sounds legit.
I'm just holding it in a fist.
Right.
With the knife, my head. With the blade, right, above right, my head, with the blade pointed at his face.
Caramel
the way you
dripping
hold,
yeah,
off of it. Because, the way you hold a knife. Why is that bad?
After he punched the face, he licked the knife.
That is
you
a
won't
sign
come
of
at me again.
So if you're doing the math here, Earl is cutting the cheesecake with a knife.
With a butcher
unfairly.
Knife.
Rick is standing there and thinks to himself, he's got a knife. We're about to fight. I might as well hit him first.
Yeah.
So he's like,
I thought.
No, the guy with the knife
hit the other guy. Knife was the puncher, too.
The knife was the puncher, too.
Yeah,
knife.
Really?
So the knife punched
knife
him.
Punch
and then held the
and
knife.
And held the knife, too.
Oh,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
Worse,
punch,
then.
And then what are you going to do about it?
That's a real power play.
Yeah.
Not only is he portion controlling, he has a knife and he lashes out first.
Regular Marie Callender over
here. Yeah.
You ready to hear what the guy who, with the knife and the punch, what he told Toby Banks?
What did he say?
According to a police report, the suspect told police chief, quote, they were arguing over the pie. Is it pie? It's cake.
It's whatever. It's okay. Moundville.
What is it?
It's Moundville.
They were arguing over
rules.
The pie, but he only patted the victim on the face and head like a dog.
that's a big enough piece.
I don't want to know how this guy treats dogs then.
Right,
first.
Right. Lip splitting dog.
He patted him on the head.
I did not.
By the way,
punch him. I patted him on the head and face like a dog.
The way you pat a dog on the face.
The way you pat a dog to prepare for a fight with Michael Vick's
sure,
dog.
Sure, when a dog is complaining about portion size.
Yes.
My dog constantly complains
about portion. I actually am, though. When you showed that picture of the cheesecake, that was better than what I thought Moundville would have to offer.
Yeah,
in
that
terms
looked
of cheesecake.
Restaurant quality.
I thought I was expecting straight up Sara Lee.
No, that was imported New York cheesecake.
Let me ask you guys. It does say here whether or not Toby Banks thought it was the size equivalent for a man. Do you guys believe that he said it was or was not a man's
size? So did the officer walk in and have the same thought that we did, that this is a size bigger
for a man? I don't know. Is he going to be a peacemaker or is he going to be
stir the pot. Is he going to stir the pot?
Is he going to stay Moundville true?
Toby Banks.
Hashtag Moundville true.
I bet you he said it was a little thin.
Okay.
He said
Andy,
it was a little
Andy
small.
Says he kind of see what you're saying, it's a little small.
I think
he's nicely garnished, but, you know.
Okay, I actually think he's going to have a problem with the garnish and would probably say, could I had a few nuts sprinkled on it.
But do you think the
but
size?
But I mean, it's a good size. I would have put some nuts on it. It's a good size, though.
Okay.
Like, he would pick something about it that wasn't about the size.
Where's the pecans?
He says it's the right size. I think he says it's big enough for a grown man.
By the way, Andy Richter made a distinct choice to have Toby Banks not know how to use plural. Where's the pecans? Where is the pecan?
After Banks was asked his opinion on whether the piece of cake was big enough for a grown man, he replied that he thought it was.
That's what I said.
Oh,
peacemaker.
Wow.
Peacemaker. Toby Banks, peacemaker.
Toby,
to which
I love
one
him.
Of those brothers like, I told you!
That's right.
Uh-huh. And so, it's the one with the knife.
Yes.
It's the knife wielder.
He sided with the punching knife wielder.
Yeah. Toby Banks could not determine what type of cheesecake sparked the dispute, the Moundville paper reported. Quote, but he thought it might be one of those no-baked boxed cheesecakes imported. The older brother was charged with third degree.
Yeah, Toby, this is the Moundville Express. What kind of cheesecake do you think it was?
That was
box.
Like a
that
box.
Was a box.
Like a box.
Slim box kind.
Yeah, a box.
No baked.
Yeah, no
was
baked.
It baked? Do you think it was baked?
I mean, if it's in a box, can it be baked? I don't think it can. It's either or, boxed or baked.
Once it's boxed, if they bake it, it goes on fire.
The older brother was charged with third degree domestic violence harassment. He spent 24 hours in jail, mandatory for a domestic charge, before he's released. The news does not usually print the names of people facing misdemeanor charges. I don't know why. Then, get this. This reporter just goes off on their own little thing at the end here and writes, experts don't recommend using a butcher knife to cut cheesecake.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Moundville Express.
A sharp, thin-bladed slicing knife or hollow-edged knife dipped in warm water reduces drag and makes a cleaner cut.
When did this suddenly become the Great British Baking Show?
I don't know. Then they wrote this. Unscented dental floss is also recommended to get a clean cut.
What?
From cheesecake.
Who is wrapping dental floss
kinda
around
makes you
their
try it, though.
And just going
here,
lightly
let me get my molars first before that slide.
No, because that's another fight.
All right.
Yeah, you use that.
That's crazy.
unscented dental floss to like get the... That to me is like an artist's way. Although, how do you... I guess you got to go
the whole length
of
it.
You would have to.
The whole length of it.
That seems like a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Come on. Obviously, from that picture, the guy did not have any trouble with drag, because that was a
beautifully crafted piece of
cheesecake. He looked like... Which leads me to believe, Andy, that not only was it boxed, it was pre-cut.
Yes.
It probably was pre-cut.
But he just used the butcher knife to...
Did he drizzle the sauce on top? I mean, how can the guy be mad? He almost like he drizzled the top, and then he took like a little, you know, rag or whatever and just cleaned off the edge.
A chef
does.
Like a chef. Unless that's tobacco juice from when he punched him.
Could be a little bit of Skull Bandit.
Mr. Spitter. It didn't end up in the Mountain Dew.
We can't tell. We can't smell it.
He split my lip and I lost some Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. All right, I'm going to ask you guys this.
Okay.
We play this game a lot, Andy. It's called Guess the Age. Okay. Now, they don't give the name, but the older brother with the knife and the punching, how old do you think he was? Now, in Dumb People Town, a lot of times we have old people who live together. Sometimes we have young kids
sure,
who live together.
Sure, of course.
Based off everything you know, you're our guest. You can go first.
54.
54 years
flat
old.
Flat out 54.
From the knife-wielding, punching, cake-cutting man. Randy or Jason?
I think he's 38.
38 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just seems like old enough to get into a physical fight, not so old that he would know better.
On the holidays.
Although when you really get old, I think he's 61. Because I think when you really...
Living with his half-brother.
Yep, living with his half-brother. So yeah. Both of them going through
divorces. All the parents are dead. Yeah, all the parents who created divorces, this situation are gone.
I'm making no inference. That's just how I've pictured it.
I think he's 61, and I think it's because at that point in time... A slice of cheesecake is something he was thinking about day.
Right.
It was something. When he went to bed on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm.
It's not a young mind that can be diverted by other things.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like, you know, there's a feeling wherever, and we don't know what life expectancy in Moundville, but like, this
probably
may be my last piece of cheesecake. You know, like a, kind of that place. Right, so I think he's 61.
Okay. According to court records, the older brother in the cheesecake fight.
Yell at your ham radios right now, people.
It is. Get your answers in, friends. Townies, 24 years
old. Oh! Off by 30 years.
I think that these guys were home for Christmas break.
Oh, my God.
And started fighting over a cheesecake.
Yeah, they probably brought that cheesecake home from grandma's or something. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
so many times in Dumb People Town where those guys are well into their 60s.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Especially in Moundville.
I, like Andy, pictured them as a much
I
older
did. Guy. I just saw him as, yeah.
just like, an old dude.
Yeah, he probably looks 50-something.
Yeah.
Right.
That's story one, friends.
All right, there we go. Story one down in the books. Andy Richter is here, thank God. Thank God to sort out this cheesecake mess. We have two more stories. I'm very excited, so stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town.
I know, Andy.
We're back. That's how fast we're back.
How fast the break is.
I love, by the way, following you on Twitter, not just because you're funny, but also you speak your mind on Twitter,
which
is beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And you like go for it, which I think is, it's really wonderful to see in that medium. I don't think people do.
So thank you.
Thank you.
As Dr. Laura said, shut up and dribble to you.
That's not Dr. Laura. That's Laura Ingram. Those are two different people.
I think of them as the same person.
But they are, you know. It's very understandable that you would put those two together.
I'm right. White women who don't know what they're talking about, who tell other people to shut up, they could be Dr.
But I mean,
Laura.
The shut up and dribble could be, someone could be like, shut up and be the sidekick on this thing. And
yes,
shut up
no,
and
I
do
know.
Your do your thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no, like, I know. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure you
well,
get.
Well, that's the hilarious day after when she was accused, she said, that the shut up and dribble was accused, that people were accusing her of racism for saying shut up and dribble, which it was more like the, I don't think that was what people thought was racist. It was more the part where you said, why are they always running their mouths?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the moment where you're like, who do you mean by they? I wonder.
I don't think you can use the word uppity nowadays.
Right.
Without it being taken the wrong way.
Why not just say those people?
Why are they taking uppity the wrong way? Because it's the wrong word. You're a and I tried in my brain to be like, is there a discussion that could be made about these things? Like, is there a point that could be made by somebody that says,
I think the second your president has no, like, political, like, experience at all, all that discussion of who gets to say what they want about politics is gone.
Right, right.
Like, it's gone. If he's allowed to talk about it, then anybody can.
Well, and it's, I mean, then they pointed out the hypocrisy of the, you know, fucking Scott Baio and and Ted Nugent and Antonio Sabato Jr. Like, yeah. They had Antonio Sabato Jr. on to talk about ISIS.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's that's the ridiculous part. But the thing I loved is that she was absolutely indignant that the shut up and dribble would be that people would say that was racist, because she was just playing off the title of her book from 15 years ago,
which was
Shut Up and Sing.
Shut Up and Sing.
And she said, I've been saying variants of that forever. And it's like, nobody fucking knows about your 15-year-old book. Oh, man. That old chestnut.
I've been telling people to shut up and do the thing that they do well for a year.
Shut up and do your occupation.
Shut up and garden is what she said to her gardeners years.
Right. Like
she said, by the way, she said to Ralph Fiennes once, shut up and garden. Shut up and garden constantly. Shut up and constantly garden.
Yes.
But yeah, the fact that she thought everyone would know that she was playing off her catchphrase. Like, no nobody knows that, you idiot.
I think it's inspiring, because I think what she said. No, I think what you do is inspiring, because
thank you.
Not only do I think you are hilarious in everything that you're in, but I do think it takes a certain amount of...
You're going to step out on that ledge?
You're stepping out on the ledge and making a point about something you believe in and believing in it. And
I'm sure you get a lot of neg. I'm sure you also are a little bit.
I do, but you know what? I don't know. I just don't, like... I don't... because believe me, there's a lot of, like... There's a lot of people that I feel like, oh, take it down a notch, like celebrities that, and I only do it really on Twitter. In places like this, because Twitter to me is, that's just me. I mean, I do some kind of promotion things, usually mostly for other people, for friends and things.
Right.
But mostly it's just because, like, I don't get out of the house much, and if I think of a joke, I want to share it with people.
Which, yes,
and honestly, and Twitter too for me is totally an ongoing conversation with friends that I've known for years, or friends that I've known for less time, but that I've never met. Like, I have friends on Twitter that are really legitimately I consider friends.
But I've never met
him face to face.
We have that too, in a great way.
And it's really, you know, like you can be at home on a Sunday night at 10 p.m. and joking with your friends, with your friends, which is, to me, what's always been the main thing I like about my work my career is having fun, joking around with funny people. That's been the main thing to me. So I just, and then I just kind of feel like while I'm there and I have people listening, I'm going to say things that really, truly are not meant to, as they say, virtue signal. They're meant to say, like, I think that the world would be a better place if we did this. Like,
or if
we had less guns, if we treated women better, if people of color were in more positions of power, all these kind of things. And I'm always trying to, most of the time, I mean, sometimes I just get mad, but most of the time I'm trying to convince people of something. So I'm always thinking of persuasion.
Yep.
You know, I'm not just being like,
you're not spewing out hate.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot of purity tests except for, a woman's right to choose. Like, that's not negotiable for me.
Right.
LGBT
rights. Yeah.
I can't keep up with the letters.
There's so many letters.
But
they want
rights,
the whole alphabet now. I mean, what is that?
Those rights are non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, even like guns, people are like, you want to ban guns? No, I don't. I just think you should leave them at home, and I don't think you need a fucking machine gun.
Yep.
And I mean, they'll be like, machine gun, what does that mean? You know, just...
Yeah.
The ones that that fire so rapidly and powerfully that if you had one for home protection, you would be endangering people in the next room.
Yeah,
like
or in the next house.
If an intruder came into your house and you shot them with an AR-15, the bullet could go through them, through a wall, and kill your family.
Yeah.
So, like, How about a shotgun, dummy?
Yeah.
You know?
How about a shotgun, dummy could be the title of your next book. I'm going to say this, and then we'll get into the next story. The stuff you wrote about, and we talked about this. Remember when we read it? And the stuff you wrote about, like, depression and feeling depressed. Even when things, you have everything, and you might, things might be going well for you, not understand that it is chemical in many ways.
Yeah, yeah.
That was super deep, super real, and I thought, like, super eye-opening and just beautifully written.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, and it was in response to somebody. Somebody said, depression is a choice. And it wasn't anybody that I knew. It was somebody that...
Somebody it, retweeted it and
yeah,
got it
somebody
to,
yeah, brought yeah. it into my timeline to make fun of the person, or you know, to you know,
call them out,
differ with, yeah, right. call out the person,
right.
And I told them to go fuck themselves, mm-hmm. and then which is like that's, and I even said it. It's shooting fish in a barrel mm-hmm. to say, because something like that is so. But it really did bother me,
mm-hmm.
and I drove my daughter to school, and I still felt, and I as I was driving to school, I was thinking about it, and
so now it's infiltrated your time
yeah,
with your kids,
exactly.
and you're
and
a busy
I was a,
guy.
I was a human being that was made angry by this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I actually, after I dropped my daughter off, I pulled over and I wrote some tweets just explaining, like, that depression is a burden that I've carried my whole life. And to have somebody dismiss it is, you know, that's them telling me to go fuck myself.
Right? In a very yes. very indirect way. Yeah. That's
and
right.
And also something that, like, you know... I've and one of the points that I was trying to make is that, like, I have done pretty well playing the game of life, and in many ways, and like I said there too, there's not a lot of self-pity, but I have been playing hurt. Mm. You know, I have mm-hmm. been
it's a great
I have an extra, you know, there's like it takes a little extra for me to just cope and
yeah.
for me to and
yeah.
you know so
a lot of people for a lot of people that is the real deal
yeah and actually you know just recently in and that was at a time where like I actually just recently changed medications and went back and changed doctors and yeah. Because I was getting bad again
yeah.
and it was kind of like the medication that I was on, there was like a slow seepage of mm-hmm. the same kind of just where I just kind of reached a point where I just kind of felt like, well, I guess my baseline is never enjoying anything. And that's pretty much, that's the story for me for the rest of my life. Mm-mm. And it was actually my wife who was like, you know, maybe your medication, maybe you're due for a change. And I was like, it's like when somebody
turn
says
on a light.
Yeah, when somebody says something so simple, and I was like, I should know better. I mean, for as much therapy as I've had mm-hmm. and as much experience as I've had with depression, I should know better. Yeah, no shit. There's no reason to put up with being miserable. There's right. no reason to put up with feeling like, literally like I just won't enjoy things for the rest of my life. You know,
so many people deal with that. And I'll say this about, not to bring it back to the show, but I say this about this show. A lot of people tell us this is like doing the show, and I'm sure for you, even doing your show. The idea that you can take people away from it for just
yeah,
a brief
yeah.
period and give them that thing that they look forward
sure.
to and lift them up in a certain way is, to me, I think, one of the best things you can do. And
yes.
when I talk to my kids, I'm like, yeah, I don't really make a physical
yeah,
thing,
yeah, yeah.
but I actually think environmentally it's more sound and it's
yes.
it's better. Like, we give people an experience. And it's a positive thing that then they take with them. And that's so valuable in so many
yeah,
ways.
I've always really enjoyed doing this for a living because when you look at, you know, you're making people laugh, which is like one of the primal evidences of happiness.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you're literally making people happy.
Mm-hmm.
If even for a moment, you know, and
we
that's
know
a
how hard it
beautiful
is.
Thing.
So you're
yeah.
like, yeah, it's yeah. a beautiful thing.
So, yeah, no, it's, but it's, also, too, I've had a lot of people, and once again, my Midwestern curmudgeonly, mm-hmm. you know, we had a phrase, don't toot your own horn.
Yes.
The notion of like yes. of a famous person doing that sort of performative, I have suffered and I'm mm-hmm. sharing my story so that others may learn.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like, oh, take it easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, whomever.
Mm-hmm.
But because, and I have to credit my mother, because there has been a lot of depression. It's a hereditary thing.
It's in your family.
And from an early age, my mom was very frank about us getting help for it and about everybody in the family. She was always very open to therapy. For the family and for individuals. So I've always been very frank about it. And when people have asked me about it, I've been very frank about it. And over time, the amount of people who have told me how valuable that frankness was to them and how, John Moe does a podcast. He's done a lot of NPR.
Yeah, love John Moe. Love him.
He did a podcast. I don't know if he's still done it. I think it was a limited run called The Hilarious World of Depression. That was just talking about mostly comedians and what a common stripe depression is throughout funny people. Mm-hmm. And I did an episode of that, and I had so much face to face feedback about how valuable that was and what that meant to people. Like a guy in the Warner Brothers commissary came up to me and was almost in tears, like a southern accent, was like, you know, I've been feeling this my whole life. Everybody in my life told me just to get over it, mm-hmm. just like you can handle it. And he said, and hearing you on that thing made me go to therapy. And
I mean, that's why you put it out there.
I'm a fucking jerk off on TV. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, and you are.
And here,
let's be honest. Let's be honest.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a minister.
I mean, I don't mean to bring it back to the thing, but my only thing that I would say to you is shut up and dribble. but it is good. Shall we get into another story?
Yes, yes.
Let's do it.
Enough about me.
No, I love it. I brought it up because I actually really loved it. All right, let's jump in.
This was sent in by Zombie Banana.
Yes, of course.
At Burn It Down 2016.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yep.
I'm just a question about that. So you want to burn it down. That could also be like, hey, we're going to light it up. Let's burn it down. They have a great 2016.
Right.
But then when that year has come and passed.
Right. Yeah, you missed your chance. You didn't really burn it down.
We're still here.
Still here.
Maybe it's from a festival called Burn It Down, and they specifically loved Burn It Down.
Maybe that's like Splinter Festival, like Slam Dances to
from
Sundance.
The Burning Man.
Burn It Down Festival.
Or it just could mean a joint, dude.
Yeah, man.
Sweet reefers.
I'm going to read. Here's what they wrote. You've got mail. I don't like when menus or articles talk to me like we know each other.
Yeah.
When a menu is like, you're in luck here, you reading about our chicken tenders.
Yeah, yeah. Dan,
like,
you're a very folksy guy, and mm-hmm. it comes from Midwest, but you also don't love when a waiter or waitress sits down at the table
and says,
What are we having? You're not eating with us. I have to give them credit because they're taking what they're doing and bumping it up a notch, but you don't like that. All right, so keep that in mind. You've got mail.
Unfortunately, it's two raw fish, and their severed heads are stinking up your mailbox.
All right.
One Northwest Knoxville woman had that experience on Wednesday afternoon, and she said it's not the first time someone has put fish in her mailbox. You've pissed somebody off.
Yeah.
Right?
This feels like a Dr. Phil saying.
Yeah.
That's not the first time.
You got fish in your mailbox.
You
got
to take that fish out of your mailbox.
Yeah. Angela Brookshire. Isn't there a company, Brookshire?
Yeah, Farms. Brookshire Farms.
Yeah.
How would you describe Angela Brookshire? She's the type of person that other people want to put dead fish in her mailbox.
I think she's, even her skin is gingham.
Yeah. And she always has a braid.
Yeah.
Always. One thick braid.
By the way, like Brookshire Arms, like that would be the name of the worst apartment building in your town. That feels really run down. Why don't they mow the lawn? Once in a while, it's Brookshire.
Angela Brookshire called the Knoxville Police Department's non-emergency number after someone put
Good for her, by the way, for calling the non-emergency. Not calling 911. We've had many people say, call 911.
Many people would argue that the cheesecake fight probably should have gone to the non-emergency line.
I'm already on her side, you know?
Called the Knoxville Police Department's non-emergency number after someone put the fish whole with their head sliced off and lying next to their bodies in her mailbox at her home on Wood Glen Drive.
Now, what time of year are we talking?
This time of year.
So it's chilly.
So it's, you know,
not as bad as the summertime fish.
Exactly. It could, if it's chilly in Knoxville, which I imagine it is, you've got dinner.
That's right. You don't just have mail.
And depending on what kind of fish it is.
Yep.
Well, if it's trout, that's great. If it's carp,
nobody wants carp.
By the way, I have been doing this thing now where I don't want to get bills so badly that I won't get my mail for like 3 or 4 days. If I were this woman, I would be ruining my your mailbox. You'd have to get a new mailbox.
Right.
Because how do you, I mean, people don't clean the inside of their mailboxes. There's not anymore of that.
No. Also, my family, when we catch carp, you just throw those behind you. You don't even throw them back in.
You don't even throw them back in?
Oh, they're just garbage
fish.
They're
not good fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many bones.
Bluegill, I loved.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A good sunfish.
And they're still pretty bony, too. Crappie. But not like carp.
No,
yeah.
Carp are the worst. And they don't even put up a fight. A carp just lets you drag it in when you catch it. They're the worst fish all around.
They're like, not fun.
Nope. A plastic bag left on the ground next to the mailbox identified the fish as tilapia.
Oh, that's a nice whitefish.
Yeah.
Two cans of sardines had been placed in the mailbox, which had no mail inside. The newspaper box also had fish in it. Our paper smelled like fish, Angela Brookshire said.
I'm just going to say this. This is why I always give a bonus to my mail carrier every year.
Maybe she didn't give.
Don't forget.
He's showing us the picture.
There's a mailbox.
Wow.
Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com. I mean,
that's a really big mailbox, too.
That's huge. First of all, you look at that and you say to yourself,
it's like a microwave.
It is.
I don't know why seeing it makes it seem like more of a violent act.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Seeing it just is like.
Well, you hear fish head and it's one thing. You see fish head.
Right. Yeah. It's a different.
According to Brookshire, the KPD, Knoxville Police Department officer,
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, who responded to the home, said the family should report the incident to the U.S. Postal Inspector. So KPD is trying to pass this off.
Yeah, we can't do anything.
That's federal.
That's a federal crime?
It actually is federal.
It is federal. Yeah. It's like a scene in Die Hard where the feds show up just start taking over this little Knoxville
case. Man.
Mailboxes are considered federal property. Tampering with them is a federal crime. Mm-hmm. Wednesday's special delivery marks an escalation since last week when Brookshire said someone mixed canned sardines and anchovies with mustard and left it in a pile in her mailbox. This is the second time.
She's had mailbox tomfoolery.
Right.
Who did she piss off?
I think there's a cat that's in love with her.
Yeah, maybe. This could be exactly. Thank you for all the pets.
Meow.
Thank you for all the, you know,
she's bringing it, laying it at her feet.
Cat laying the kill at her feet.
Whenever my soon to be son in law, never heard a person described like that in my entire life.
Soon to be son in law is a lot of pressure.
Right, right.
It says to me she likes him a lot.
Yeah. Daughter's fiance. Yes. How about that, honey?
Wherever my soon to be son in law,
or
the
by
mail,
the way, just dating.
Yep.
And she's trying to bump it a little bit further.
They're not even engaged. She won't let it drop.
This is my daughter and my soon-to-be son-in-law.
He's just the neighbor.
Like, Mom, we're not even dating. God.
He's the mailman.
Yeah.
Because she's worried that her daughter's gay. Like, there's that moment where she's like, soon-to-be son-in-law. Mom.
Whenever my soon-to-be son-in-law checked the mail, he said that somebody had put poop in there, Angela Brookshire said.
What?
And when I went out there, I said, no, it's not poop. It's fish.
Okay, so.
This kid's an idiot.
By the way, it had to be relieved. Had to be relieved when it wasn't poop. Yeah, but I don't know.
It's still aggressive.
I know. It's true.
Angela Brookshire said her family think they know who's responsible.
Okay, so now we're getting into it. I like this.
This is not the turn I saw coming.
Okay,
in this story.
So we're all sitting here. We're at the edge, and we're not. We have no idea where this is going to go.
Right.
The mail is coming from inside the house.
What?
They believe that's Angela and her family. Mm-hmm. Their neighbors are exacting revenge after Angela's husband backed out of a deal to sell them a puppy. I wish every townie could see Andy Richter right now. It's a level of disgust.
Oh, Jesus.
By the way, selling a puppy, I didn't realize that was like such a
Maybe they're like ethnic. Maybe it's like a Ukrainian, you know. Well, classic revenge for puppy back out is fish.
We put fish in mailbox. Yeah.
The mustard. Like the fact that they're actually
a condiment.
Press.
Yes.
You know, or cutting the heads off. Like, Leave the heads out. Yeah, like, what's the,
what does it matter?
Yeah, yeah. Like a, that's
but, like, maybe, but if they didn't sell the puppy, but they kept the puppy, now the neighbors have to see that puppy every day dancing around on the lawn.
Like,
that could have been yours.
How close to the deal did they get? Yeah, we're just... And by the way, how many people are like, we're just drawing up the paperwork for the puppy? Like,
no.
What paperwork is now, filled out for a puppy?
Also, too, if Angela kept... Is Angela, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
If she kept the puppy, what I would fucking do... Cut up that fish, feed it to the puppy on the front lawn.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Puppies love it.
Look at his beautiful silky coat now.
Thank you.
Thank for the omega-3s, motherfuckers. Yeah.
After accepting a down payment, the Brookshires decided the puppy, a one-month-old Boston Terrier boxer mix named Brandon.
Oh, Brandon.
Getting so big. Needed to stay with his sister, Precious, who's the runt of the litter. So they didn't want to take the runt, Precious, be separated from Brandon,
okay,
even though the neighbors
wanted him. Actually have a legitimate reason for wanting to keep two dogs together, whether or not that's true.
And am I wrong to say that Precious was based on a novel by...
Push by Sapphire. Yeah, that's right. Precious is a dog based on a novel pushed by Sapphire.
Brandon based on Pull by Sapphire.
Angela Brookshire said her husband gave the neighbors their money, the deposit, mm-hmm. back 2 days after the first fish delivery, which means he... refused to give it back, and then they got fish in their mailbox, so then he's like, fine, here's your down payment back. I'm going to ask you guys.
How much
do you think that down payment was on these puppies?
By the way,
they started putting fish in before he gave the money back?
Yes.
So that's,
now,
so they said,
does it say in there that he was refusing to give the money back?
No, but that's the only thing I can infer.
Basically, he probably backed out of the deal and didn't say anything about giving the money back.
Right.
Then the fish showed up, and then they gave the money back.
By the way, this is one of those things where Angela probably told the non-emergency hotline, I don't understand why
this
is happening. And then they're like, well, is there anyone in your life? And suddenly this whole story comes out about how they screwed their neighbors over.
And I also feel like she's omitting a lot.
A lot. She redacted a lot. Yeah.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
You have to walk by the house and hold the puppy up at the window.
By the way,
your neighbor's house.
She sent her soon-to-be son-in-law to do it.
if you are not giving back the down payment, now I understand, okay?
Now we're inferring that that's what happened.
But that's the only thing that could happen. Or you're holding it for an elongated period of time.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's just, it's crazy.
Why would you give the down payment back?
The fish, I mean, I actually feel like the fish...
is justified.
No, I'm not entirely sure that they were withholding the down payment.
Right.
Which makes me think, like, that it's all bananas. Like, why the fuck would
it
people...
It is bananas.
Zombie banana.
You set this story.
It seems so... Now, okay, now are you going to say, like,
what
amount was?
Yes, so we have to guess.
You can go
first. What the amount of the down payment? Okay,
Tig or third?
How many steps of, like, setting a deal together, giving a down payment on a dog?
Down payment is on a puppy named Brandon.
It's a down payment on a bus.
$50.
$50 from Andy Richter. Randy or Jason?
I think it's like
$150. $150.
Yeah. My first thought was $175.
$175.
Yes, like, you know, this is a very high
It's a down payment. Half now and half when you get the puppy.
2 days after the first fish delivery, Angela's husband walked over to the neighbor's house and gave them their deposit back, which totaled $20. Which I don't know if that makes me feel like it's less likely the neighbors are doing this or more likely
That was a lot of fish in there. The fish itself would have been about $18.
Yeah.
After the first fish delivery, the husband went over and gave them their $20. Fine. The second delivery followed after that, which if you're the neighbors who are doing this, that's a good way to make people think it isn't you.
Yeah.
Because why would you keep delivering fish after you got your deposit?
Your $20.
Here's your $20.
On Wednesday.
Are puppies that rare in fucking Knoxville?
Here's your 3 5s and
Boston,
5 1s.
Boston Terrier
finally,
boxer.
4 1s
and 4 quarters.
Finally, a strange mix of breeds.
I hope Angela's husband walked over and was like, can you break a 50?
You know how rare a puppy is.
Wednesday, a man answered the door at the house where the Brookshire said the neighbors lived. I don't know why they didn't just write, the neighbor answered the door when we went there. Yeah. I have no idea.
Because they can't be sure.
No, right.
They're covering their bears.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some sort of like Tom Hanks' Carrie Fisher character from The Burbs that's also living in this cul-de-sac that I'm imagining who wants nothing to do with any of these people.
That's right.
It's just observing. Their house is in between theirs.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, a man answered the door where the neighbor said that they lived. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. He said he was going to buy the puppy before the Brookshires backed out, but denied putting the fish in their mailbox.
So my guess is they walked to the door and said hello, and before they asked him anything, he said, I was going to buy that puppy. Whoa.
Hey, we haven't asked you one question.
I didn't put mustard in those anchovies. Whoa, that's a lot of information.
You hear about Brandon?
you hear about Brandon? Because we're all broke up in here. Broke up.
It was, you hear about Brandon or are you here about Brandon?
Yeah. Either way.
It could be thought as both ways.
When asked why the family accused him, the neighbor said, they're crazy. I don't know what they're talking about.
Sure. That's always put the crazy on them.
You know what? There's a distinct possibility.
Andy thinks that everyone is crazy in this story, and I kind of am with him.
This is what I love, too. This is just the next sentence. He said he did not want to see a photo of the fish in the mailbox, which means the reporter asked, would you like to see a photo?
Nope.
I'm good.
I'm good.
You know what? That actually makes me question him now. That's the first thing, because who doesn't want, like, all right, sure, lay it on me.
A photo of fish in a mailbox?
Yeah, absolutely.
As for Angela.
Wasn't that an REO Speedwagon cover?
Fish in a mailbox. You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
I'm going to just read the one I just wrote to you so I can read these back to back. Because this article derails.
Okay.
He said he did not want to see a photo of the fish in the mailbox. As for Angela, she said she was going inside to get a jacket.
Well, she was there.
I don't know. All of a sudden, we cut to Angela.
No, she's standing 12 feet behind him. See? He don't want to see it.
I'm going inside to get a jacket.
He don't want to see it. I'm going inside to get a jacket.
Quote, what does that have to do with
anything? Told you.
Quote, they don't subscribe this quote to her, but it has to be her. It just says, quote, then I'm going to come out here, be the bigger person, and clean out my mailbox. End of article. There's nothing after that. The last three sentences read like this. He said he did not want to see a photo of the fish in the mailbox. As for Brookshire, she said she was going inside to get a jacket. Then I'm going to come out here, be the bigger person, and clean my mailbox up.
That's
good writing. That is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Right from the Knoxville Statesman or whatever it's called.
Someone
who clearly went to Northwestern School of Journalism. So unsolved fish
as of now
issue. If you have any clues or any information and you listen to this show and you're from Knoxville, please email into the Facebook page. Take a look
at
the photo.
We want to know everything.
Right. Dial 1-800-Munchausen by proxy if you have any details of how Angela's getting the fish into her own mail.
Look, here's the deal. When the Mueller investigation is done with the president and done with what's going on, they're going to get on this.
Well, FBI would be on this if they weren't wasting all their time on this damn Russia.
This is a serious fish issue. All right.
Boy.
I know.
Sklar Brothers.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
When we come back, what's a little tease on the final
story?
This is one of the grossest stories I've ever... I had to stop twice reading this.
Get ready, everybody. We'll take a break. Dumb. When we come back, grossness with Andy Richter on Dumb People Town. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the show. I want to remind people, I believe our poop doc, our documentary about
still
poop...
Still available
on iTunes and Amazon, and rate it, like it. It's a really interesting look at why is this something that everybody does but people don't talk about. We had a bunch of funny friends sit down and give their stories and their insights on it, and what we found is really fascinating and interesting, and people are loving this movie. 86 on Rotten Tomatoes, can't be wrong. Am I right?
People will jerk off to anything.
Wait a minute. Speaking of gross.
It became like a niche masturbation thing. Like,
number one on Pornhub.
What? Number one on ChuckBerry.net. All right. What do you have for us, Dan?
All right, here we go. This was sent in by Eric D. Keith at Eric, E-R-I-C, D. Keith, K-E-I-T-H, 2.
Okay.
Cool. All right, here we go. I will say this. This is Dumb People Town. We don't always have to have dumb people. Sometimes the things that happen are dumb or crazy or ridiculous.
Yep.
Back in the summer of 2016, Abby Beckley had been living on an inactive cattle ranch in southern Oregon. There was just one cow, says the 28-year-old college student.
So this is a different time
that's
in not, America.
That's far from inactive.
There's a little activity.
That cow's like, what the fuck?
You?
What am I, chopped liver? Almost.
You will be.
Almost.
You could be.
A few weeks later, this is while we're living there, a few weeks later on this barely active cattle farm, she started to have the sensation that something was in her eye. Mm-hmm. Quote, You know how it feels when you have an eyelash in your eye, Beckley says?
Very much so, and it's
That's
not
That's exactly
fun.
How it felt. But when I looked in the mirror, I couldn't see anything.
Oh, God.
The sensation wouldn't go away.
Andy, where is this going?
It's I have a no idea.
And her eye was getting more and more irritated. It was red, droopy, and inflamed. Oof. Quote, I finally couldn't take it anymore, she says. Mm-hmm. I went to the mirror and decided I'm going to pull out whatever was in my eye, even if
by
I
yourself?
Have to rip part of my eye out.
What? So, by the way, Dan, you said no dumb people. The second I have irritation in my eye, I don't know what it is, I'm going to
go to
the
doctor.
Okay.
All right.
It's a dummy.
This is
Andy, how long have you worn glasses?
This is
all your life?
Yeah. No. When I was 40, I started, yeah.
40, you started wearing glasses. Yeah. Okay, so you lived a long life without having to do it.
Right.
Was contacts ever an option for you that you would put something in your eye or no?
No.
That
because
to me seems
these are mostly
difficult.
For reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think if I, because Jay wears glasses, his eyesight has deteriorated. Mine is starting to go that way, and Jay won't let me wear glasses because for a lot of people, that's a great way for them to tell us apart.
Easy way for them to tell us apart.
But for me, I'm like, the prospect of putting something in my eye.
I do it every day.
You do it every day, Dan?
I mean, I could touch my eyeball right now.
See, I wouldn't. I mean, that doesn't really bother me that much.
So she's going to rip out.
Yeah.
But have you guys ever
had... Well, this is a really like a PSA for universal health care.
And because
obviously this woman can't afford...
or didn't want
to
go.
A college student.
The fucking
years old.
Spider eggs out of her eyeball or whatever the fuck's going on.
What is it?
Have you guys ever been in so much pain that you had to deal with something that caused you more pain, but it didn't matter because you had... Like one time I was barefoot in Florida running around and I got like a stick like broke
my
off
favorite
in my
Jimmy
foot.
Buffett song.
In my foot and I had to... dig out what was in there. It hurt so bad, but it got to the point where you're like, I just have to get this out.
I gotta get it out.
And so you go through some mental leap in your brain where you stop acknowledging that pain just to deal with it. And
because
she was at a point.
Because there's a task at hand.
Right, she
so
was
I'm
at a point.
I'm gonna go to the mirror, I'm gonna rip this thing out. No,
yes.
So what was it?
She pulled down her eyelid.
Oh, God.
And grabbed a clear, thread-like material from under her eyeball.
You were right, Andy.
Then she looked at the thread. Quote, it was squiggling around on my finger. I thought, this is nuts. A worm just came out of my eye.
Ah!
By the time she could see a doctor, Beckley took out four more worms. Some of them were pretty long, about the half the length of a paperclip.
Ooh,
that's long.
That is long.
Mostly,
half the length of a paperclip is like this.
That's a strange scale of reference.
It is.
You know.
Mostly, the critters
how
just...
How tall are you? I'm about 45. Yeah, 45 paperclips tall.
Her house is full of paperclips.
Mostly, the critters just hung out in the space between Beckley's eyeball and her eyelid, but sometimes they crawled right across her eyeball.
Oh, wow. My God.
I quote, I was just like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. What the heck am I going to do?
I bet you were.
She finally got an appointment with the eye doctors at the Oregon Health and Science University at first.
Why don't you go to the emergency room?
Yeah.
like the second I pull one living thing out of my eye that shouldn't be there, I'm going where I get immediate help.
Yeah. At first, they didn't believe her.
What?
They couldn't find the worm, she says, and they were just saying things like, a lot of people, when they have this claim, it's usually just mucus, Beckley says.
Mucus that wiggles around on your finger?
I told them, just you wait. Sure enough, an hour later...
Why isn't she taking these things and putting them in
right,
a tiny...
exactly.
Because she ate them.
Hour
later, Beckley
fed them to the cow.
Beckley felt a worm move. I said to the doctors, look now, immediately the doctor started...
They let the crazy woman hang out for an hour. I ain't leaving.
Well, she said, just you wait.
Yeah.
They're about to not sound very professional either. Immediately, the doctor started screaming, oh my gosh, it just crawled across your eye. I never want a doctor
to scream.
To get too high on the highs
or low on the lows.
Right.
You got to keep it right in the middle.
That's right.
You got to play it like you've seen it all
you
before.
You show something to your doctor like, oh my God.
No, that's a bad doctor.
Yes.
That's a bad doctor.
When I had a lump on my testicle.
Yes.
Even in my, in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I always just, because I couldn't afford health care, I was like, well, it's probably cancer and I'm probably going to die.
Yeah.
Right.
So the second I got covered with healthcare, I went to straight to a urologist who, you have to take down your pants and he did this weird came down and
listened to it?
No, it was. It was like he put his ear but he was like feeling my testicle.
Yeah.
and, you know, like with his head turned, and he got up disgusted. Like, he stood back up disgusted and was like, he's like, ah, there's nothing there. What you're feeling is a normal part of your anatomy.
He admonished you.
I went like, no, wait. And then, like, you know, held my own ball and found it and, like, put my finger on it. It was like, right there. Put your finger right there. And he felt it. And, I mean, this is a big fucking lump. This is like, you know, which on your testicle is like.
How many paper clips?
Like a couple. I would say, like, three Barbie paper clips.
This is a man who has a daughter.
So he puts his hand on it and goes like, oh, well, it's very subtle. Like, you know, like, couldn't
to
admit.
Cover his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Like, you don't know how much I love that you were like, we're not acting this
no
right
no fucking way. No. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, it's very subtle. Like the movie Jackass.
I haven't gone through years of paranoia and mortality crisis over this lump on my nose.
You can't find it.
Your lack of professionalism. That's not subtle.
Well, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's your fault I didn't see it in the first place.
It's my fault. You're tucking it under.
End of story. It's a calcium buildup from probably a shot in the balls while playing football.
There you go.
Oh, that's all it was.
Well, I'm glad.
Calcium buildup from a shot in the balls.
So they say, oh my gosh. The doctor then scattered and started getting ready to take a sample. The doctor's skepticism is understandable, says Aaron Benura, an infectious disease doctor at OHSU who helped Beckley. Who helped her out. Where is this? Sorry, I lost my spot, friends. Okay, here we go. It's fairly unheard of to have worms in your eye in the U.S. unless you've traveled to a developing country. Mm-hmm. And Beckley hadn't, the doctor says. For this reason, I knew we had to get some of these worms so we could identify them. Mm-hmm. The worms, more than obliged, including the first worm, plus the four more that she pulled from her eye, and the one in the doctor's office. I'm going to ask you guys, over the next few weeks, how many worms were pulled from Abby's eye? No. So include the first one, then four more.
Did she go back home?
No. She's just counting how many she pulled out of her eye.
She kept coming back, and they would when she felt them, they would take more. So I'm gonna ask you guys, over the next few weeks, include the first six, because you had one and then four at her place, and then the doctors pulled one, so that's six there.
Six total. How many total worms?
How many over the next few weeks, how many worms did they pull out of her eye?
You want to go first, second, or third?
I don't care.
You can pick. You're our guest.
I'm going to go 22.
22 worms.
11
worms from Jason Sklar.
35 worms.
35 worms.
She went
from
back
Randy
a bunch
Sklar.
Of times. I sure, bet sure. there was like a bunch.
This is totally like The Price is Right. We are really basing our guesses off of
I'm
each
like,
other.
I'm like the Marine.
Right, right. I should have let you go first and then gone $1.
$1.
Okay. Over the next few weeks, how many worms were pulled from Abby's eye? Get your answers in, townies, because the answer is 20 worms.
You were right.
I was so close, but I went over, so I don't get the
show. We go straight up. You're still in the game.
Over. You win.
So that means 14 more worms were pulled from her eyes. If you think
that, is there a picture of this woman?
Yeah. She's really if you think that sounds creepy, just wait to hear how the worms got in her eye in the first place. It's a living nightmare, Abby Beckley says. At first, Bradbury thought the creature was a species of eye worm they've seen before in California.
Eye worm.
Yep.
Never heard those two words together.
Earworms, yes.
Yes.
Eyeworm, no.
One that they've seen before in California and Utah, but something didn't seem quite right.
That's an understatement.
In the end, they identified the culprit, a cattle eyeworm. Basically, male and female worms live on the surface of a cow's eye. They mate and produce tiny larvae.
Oh, God.
This family of worms causes...
Meet me on the surface of the eye.
This family of worms causes the pus to pour out of the cow's eye, and then along comes a fly and lands in the pus and sucks up some of the larva.
What?
The baby worms grow into larger larvae inside the fly, and when the worms get big enough, the fly releases them back into another cow's eye.
No.
Or...
Fuck you,
God. A human eye.
Fuck you,
human
God.
Human eye.
Why, I mean, God did some great stuff, but why this?
Come on. This is just God.
I
just
hate flies anyway.
In the end, Abby Beckley made a full recovery. Once she removed all the worms, her eye returned to normal, and she doesn't have any lingering psychological scars either, she says.
Yes,
you do. Okay to have those psychological scars.
So, you just have to wait till the flies die.
You have to get them out. If you don't pull them out, they will stay in there.
And and another and fly will mate. Get one. And then
they'll keep growing.
And they just live on the surface. They're not like into the eyeball.
No, they live on the surface. They like that like little space between the eyelid and the eyeball.
They can't like hold, like do some sort of procedure where they hold the eyelid open
and just
and
scoop
flush it with like antibiotic or something.
In the end, she made a full recovery, says she doesn't have any psychological scars. Usually this happens to cows, like they can't get their eyes cleaned out, so this can become a real problem for them. Basically,
she says, I have no scars, but I can't eat spaghetti anymore.
Of course. Yeah. So basically, and I can't hold a paperclip.
That's right.
So basically, a fly spit the worms into Abby Beckley's eye. Yes, that's right, the doctor says. The fly vomited the worms into her eye. The moral of the story is pretty clear, he says. When you see flies around your face, swat them away before they land near your eyes.
I actually think the moral of the story is don't live on a cow farm, active or inactive. That's the answer right there. Before we get out of here, we have a quick voicemail that we from the great Chris Christopherson, who I believe is currently living on a
cattle farm.
Found himself on one. He's living wherever the wind takes him.
He left his voicemail. We gotta listen to this.
You have one new voice message.
Hey, boys. It's me, Chris Christopherson. And, you know, I've been listening to your little radio show that you do on my phone radio, and I think, like, I have a story for you that I think would be very perfect for your show about a dumb person just doing some dumb stuff. So the story goes like this. The year is 1975, and a young man by the name of Chris Christopherson has decided to go down to Mexico to find Jesus. Well, This man, not me, Chris Christopherson, but the person from the story, Chris Christopherson, has decided to go into a large church to find Jesus. But I'll tell you what he did find was a large shipment of bananas. And these bananas had been eaten because an alligator had gotten loose from a zoo, and that alligator's name was Chris Christopherson. And so when the alligator Chris Christopherson ate all those banana peels, all those bananas, the peels went everywhere. And then the person from the story, Chris Christopherson, walked into that church and he slipped and he fell on about 100 different banana peels. The man from the story, Chris Christopherson, fell on the banana peels that the crocodile, Chris Christopherson, had eaten. And that's me, Chris Christopherson, telling you this story for your show. You're welcome. All right, I got to get back to knitting this sweater that I'm making for my dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he...
Do you guys worry about him?
I don't
do
ever
like
worry.
He's like
the
leather.
Fact that Chris Christopherson is still alive. Have you met Chris Christopherson?
I don't think I ever have.
The fact that he's still alive, he's like, do you remember that one Simpsons where Mr. Burns like is so sick that all the sickness inside of him is like trying to get out and it's just jamming the door so he's fine?
Yeah, yeah.
That like if you made him better on one instance, it would all come out and he would die. So it's like you have to stay the way. That's the way I feel about Chris Christopherson. Yeah, he's just living.
Like leather boots, they just keep, they'll never
they
go away.
They get better with age. Yeah. They get better
and
with age. They'll
survive anything. Yeah.
I love it. Watch Conan. Watch Late Night with Conan. You're fantastic on
thank
that
you.
Show. Any other live shows or specials? I love the Christmas special that was on.
Oh,
was that
thank
on
you.
CISO or no? What was that on?
Yeah, it was. I think it was on CISO. Yeah,
that
was a UCB thing a couple years ago.
Beautiful.
And but no, nothing really. I mean, you know,
just doing what you're doing,
just
like
doing
kicking
what I'm
ass
doing.
And doing regular comedy every night on television.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it.
That's fantastic.
That's
something we
now.
All dream to be doing, and you do it so well. And thank you so much for coming to Dumb People
sure,
Town.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, shit, we got to get back to work.
It's a good show.